Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not too much.
Are we joined by our other co-host? Because I'm not looking at
yes.
The switchboard.
Yes,
all right, what's going on, Craig? What's happening?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I've been up and down, but other than that, we can jump into our topic because it's a pretty big topic this week because apparently it looks like maybe it's not 100% confirmed because I guess supposedly negotiations are ongoing, but from the looks like it, it looks like after, 10-plus years, it looks like TNA has finally died or is on the verge of dying. So I guess we could go ahead and jump into this topic. I'll let you guys pick whatever you want to start off with about TNA.
Well, let me read a little bit of the Observer here this evening and get everybody up to speed. This taken straight from the Observer. TNA finds itself at a crossroads with the television contract with Spike TV set to expire in 2 months, and not only is no deal in place, but a meeting over the past 2 weeks, Dixie Carter was told that they are not interested in renewing the deal. The story was related by multiple sources and a story reported in numerous places most notably TMZ. Skipping on just a little bit, Spike will not publicly talk about the deal nor make statements that would hurt TNA's leverage. The public story is that Viacom has a policy of not talking about ongoing negotiations, but if TNA can get a new television deal, it was said Spike was willing to work the transition as smoothly as possible. There is not a specific date where Spike would pull the programming, even though the actual contract expires in 2 months. So, as of, October-ish, sometime in October, TNA is done with Spike TV, which means they don't have TV. That sucks.
Yeah,
yep.
The last time they didn't have TV, they pretty much, the Jarretts were pretty much, had to sell TNA because they lost so much money when they did supposedly they tried doing weekly pay-per-views because that was their gimmick way back in the day, and that lasted 1 month before they ran out of money and had to sell the company to Panda Energy.
What actually happened was in 2002 when they started the weekly pay-per-view, they were dealing with somebody. I'm not sure if they were with like the Viewer's Choice, the DirecTV people, but like somebody that I guess gets a hold of like all the buy rates and stuff and reports back to buy rates, and the person inflated the buy rates. So the buy rates were so inflated that they started spending money that they didn't really have to spend. And then later came out the buy rates were, like, much, much lower. And it was like there was a big lawsuit and stuff over the whole thing. And because they had spent so much money, because of the buy rates that they were reported, they spent so much money, you know, that it weakened the company. And eventually they had to, I know they cut back on the live shows on pay-per-view, and eventually they had to find somebody else to buy the company. And that's where Panda Energy came in.
Yeah, I remember that now. I remember there was some dude, and it was all about, like, the pay-per-view shit, and he kind of fucked them. That's right.
Yeah. I think it was like 100,000 or maybe 150,000 buys for those weekly pay-per-views, which they were probably realistically around, like, 25,000 at the time.
Wow. I was one of them.
Yeah. I actually never got those weekly pay-per-views because I had, like, had Dish Network, and they didn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I got DirecTV, and they didn't have them. And then at the end, DirecTV got them, but that was, like, the last few weeks of the weekly pay-per-view before they went to, where they go to Fox Sports Net or something like that.
Yeah, they were on Fox Sports Net for a while.
No, I don't think that's completely true, because I had DirecTV the whole time, and I watched from episode number one.
Yeah, well, I had Dish Network first, and then I got DirecTV, and when I got DirecTV, then I was able to get the pay-per-views, but it was like the last few weeks of pay-per-views is when I got DirecTV. So I think they went to Fox Sports Net, and then they left, I don't know if they got canceled or whatever, their contract ran out on Fox Sports Net, and remember they were on the internet for a while doing their shows?
Yeah,
And then that's when... WWE left Spike.
Okay.
And so that's when Spike picked them up, and that's where Impact went from there. And I think in 2005, that's when WWE went back to USA. So.
I see. Now, the funny thing about this whole story is the way that I don't know the whole story, so I'm going to leave this in your hands, Contreras. The thing that upset Spike the most, it seems like, is that Vince Russo was actually employed by the Carters. Now, can you relate the story of how it got caught?
Yeah, I don't know if
it got caught because
there was so much that Vince Russo was working there, and I think it was because they were lied to by TNA about him not working there. I think was the main thing. So, what happened was, he had been, like, consulting and doing some writing for him, and he was sending an email to Mike Tonight, and he did the thing that, you know, you do on your email when you, like, send it to so-and-so, you, like, press the, like, you're sending to somebody named Mike, you press M, and all the mics come up that are on your contacts list. And
yes.
He sent it to Mike Johnson of PWSatter.com instead.
The only worst person he could have sent it to would have been Dave. You know what I mean? Because basically he picked the second most known, other than Wade Keller. I mean, the three biggest wrestling reporters as far as breaking stuff are Dave, Wade, and Mike Johnson. So, I mean, right off the bat, sent it to the wrong person.
And this was after Vince Russo had like, vehemently denied being employed by TNA or having any part of TNA anymore. So, So Mike Johnson, just like I think anybody else that would have been lied to, wanted to set straight what had happened. Now that he had evidence of it, so he posted it on their website that he had sent this email where he was consulting with like Mike Tenay on some of the stuff that was coming up on the shows or directing him and Taz or whatever. So that's how they found out.
Still kind of deny it. Didn't Russo still deny it for a little bit before he finally admitted it?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he kind of hemmed and hawed and was probably embarrassed by it, which I think anybody would be. he was caught in a lie, and that's where apparently Spike TV found out about it, and they didn't want him working there for whatever. I don't know the reason why. Maybe they just, I don't know, maybe just realized what a shitty booker he was. I think there's one that hold us with the Wrestle One promotion in Japan. That they were working with, didn't want Russo working with TNA. So that's what happened there. And then a few days ago, he was fired by TNA. And he said he lied
about that, saying that it was his idea. They just wanted to take a break, and it was his idea to end it. So
yeah.
Well, I mean, great. I mean, when you become a born again Christian, is this like a rule that you have to lie until you're caught, and then lie, and then finally come true? Is that like how these religious people do it? Because I mean, if I'm not mistaken,
oh, no.
Is still like a man of God and all that? I mean,
I think he was at one point. I don't know if he is anymore.
Isn't he like a minister even?
I don't know. They all become ministers at one point or the other. Jake Roberts was a minister one time.
So this actually goes with what we're talking about. On 7:30 of this last month, Russo on Twitter said, "Officially done with TNA," he wrote. "Today they suggested a break. I declined. Finality was better for me." Hours earlier,
yes.
Taz had written, "I unfollowed Russo earlier. He's annoying and all about his brand. Hashtag go away."
And you can go to pyro.com and sign up for $2.99 a month. Somebody on the board has actually signed up for that and is like braving this whole thing for doing this for everybody on the board. So you don't have to sit through this bullshit. I can't stand this one getting through, so I'm sorry, you know. It's just
I went out of his way to avoid his podcast with Stone Cold and Jim Ross. So I don't care what he has to say.
Yeah.
Because I saw what he did to WCW. With that said, I thought when he first started in WCW, I thought they were pretty good. And then it slowly got dumb. So,
got dumb real fast.
Yeah. And
WCW was so boring up to that point. I mean, it was like boring as hell up to that point. And there's just, when they came in, there's just like, it was a bunch of wacky shit, but it was so much going on. It was like something. So you had a little bit of hope for it. But.
Well, then he like fucking reset everything basically, like when he first came in, kind of.
Not when he first came in. That was when, because you remember when he was going to put the belt on Tank Abbott in that Battle Royal?
Okay,
Bret Hart,
yeah.
The script of the title. And instead they put it on Chris Benoit and walked out like 2 days later and offered to drop the belt, and they just told him to go home. And you remember when he and Bischoff came back, this is when they stripped everybody of the titles. They did the Millionaires Club and the New Blood. And that was just wacky as shit. He'd see the Billy Kidman and Hulk Hogan feud. Jesus Christ.
The real sad thing is that I have been enjoying the heck out of Impact Wrestling probably the last 3 weeks.
Last night's show was like the best one they've had in like, years it seems like.
I saw the first two matches, and I was thoroughly impressed. The Wolves and the Hardys is a great match. And the other thing I saw was the three-way for a spot for the X title. It was low-key. It's not Suicide anymore. What's his name now?
Manic.
And the
DJ. Just not Suicide.
That's right. The DJ guy. What's his name?
Zima,
thank you. Zima Ion. I'm totally a big fan, as you can tell. But
and they found for the upcoming titles, they signed the Wolves and the Hardys and T3D for the titles for one of their shows.
Yeah, three-way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be real good because the Wolves and the Hardys worked really good together. That was a great match.
I was actually looking forward to the Bound for Glory this year because it's going to be in Japan. So I figured that would be a good show.
If there's still going to be a Bound for Glory.
I think so.
I'm sure there will be.
But Craig, you guys are wrong about it being a good show, because if you went on Twitter, you would have seen that Vince Russo said there was too much wrestling and not enough stories. So how could it have been a good show?
Well, I think Vince Russo's taste and my taste differ.
Apparently.
You know, if I wanted a good story, I would open up a book. I watch professional wrestling because I like to watch the sport of it. You can call it what you want. You can call it a sport. You can call it drama. You can call it a male soap opera. But I like to watch wrestling in my professional wrestling.
And I like to watch the soap opera when it's good.
Yeah.
Like with the Stephanie and Brie Bella stuff, I've really liked that. Like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's been really, really good, I thought.
I like the talk on the Wrestling Observer where they were talking about that segment, but if you look at the ratings, that hour lost a viewers for the first time in like quite a while, but they're not going to throw blame on anyone, because if they throw blame, they have to throw blame on fucking Seth, so no one's bringing it up
right, that
they lost all those viewers. So I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's sad too, because they've let some big talent go just recently. Hulk Hogan staying, AJ Styles, Daniels and Kazarian, Saban. Just, I think, honestly, pillars of that company, and they just can't afford them right now.
Yeah, I mean, when they let AJ Styles go, that was like pretty shocking to me, because he was like a company guy all the way. You know, they figured they'd bend over backwards for him. They could have. I mean, they could have cut some calls somewhere to get him to stay, I think.
The thing with AJ, it was like that one interview where he's like, he was shocked to find out he was one of the highest paid guys.
You know what's funny about that whole situation too? I'm pretty sure it was Lagana, whatever you want to call him. Lagana said that this is going to, when they were doing the thing with AJ where he was, talking about leaving the company, I think it was Lagana that said, this is going to be the way the CM Punk thing should have gone. Yeah, he really left.
CM Punk really left, but not in the original one, but anyway.
Right. He really left. That's the way it should have happened in WWE. Now, I'm good friends with Dave. He's a great guy. But, wow. And maybe the story going forward,
AJ was
it was going to be better.
Was the biggest star they've made?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I thought, though.
Awesome call. Would probably be the closest second.
She was no joke.
Yeah.
She was no joke.
I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, as far as someone who kind of became a name in TNA other than AJ, it's probably it's her, you know, Awesome Kong. I mean, really. And she was there for a little while. I mean, up for a long time.
Yeah, I mean,
really,
you know, guys like Bobby Roode and James Storm, I mean, right behind them.
I was just going to say that was a great tag team that, of course, they split up. But they didn't make a whole bunch of stars. But the ones that they kind of had a hand in, they're legit.
Yeah.
Those guys are legit.
Looking away at Kazarian and Daniels, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I guess to a minor point, Abyss, really.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess you could say Abyss. He's been a player for pretty much the whole time. What I'm wondering
I think Joe was going to be a bigger name, but they kind of screwed that all up.
Oh, yeah.
He was on his way, but they ended up screwing it up. I mean, when he first came in and he was working with AJ and Danielson, those matches were badass. I mean, he was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Then he had that awesome thing with Kurt Angle, but then they killed him. And then what's real funny is when they were killing him, it wasn't just him. He had the freaking number one guy in Japan right now, Okada, fucking by his side, just like the Green Hornet, and getting hung and whipped and shit. And, they didn't realize what they had there, so they killed him when they were killing Joe also. So it's like a double whammy on that one.
Yeah, it was kind of shocking, you know, when I saw how big Okada became, because he's nothing more than like an enhancement guy in TNA, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not just him. I mean, they had Naito, they had Tanahashi. I mean,
yeah.
They
we had
some like
hockey.
Them.
Came in like once or twice from Japan, just as a, like a special attraction thing.
Yeah. Well, they still had them. I mean, they could have pushed them a little more. So I mean, three of the top Japanese guys, biggest stars in the world, really, you know, and they didn't realize what they had. But that's when they killed Joey. Remember when they buried Joe in the desert?
I think you're thinking he got kidnapped by the ninjas.
Oh, okay. I think I'm combining him and Ric Flair, but yeah, he got kidnapped
by the
ninjas.
You're thinking Ric Flair. You're thinking Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Pretty much the
same. Think about it too. They had Flair and they had Foley for a while.
Yeah.
And they had an amazing match.
Remember when Job came to the penis on his head and came back with the sword?
Oh, for crying out loud.
I thought that one of the best things Joe did was that little first program with Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
And that was a match
Scott
I wanted
Steiner
to make.
Was calling him a half-breed.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe he called him a half-breed and tried to do some math or something. I don't know.
And he's fat.
And he's fat. I think the best
Scott
match
Steiner
in that
was
company
so
was – was Joe and AJ and Daniels in that one pay-per-view main event in that three-way?
Yeah.
Do you remember which one I'm talking about? It was like the first one that they did. It was like the main event of the pay-per-view.
Okay. Well, because they did so many. I mean, I've seen so many, it's hard to remember which was the...
And then
know,
they came back and did another
like,
one a few years later for the world title. It was just as good, so...
Yeah, the three of them were... I mean... When you look at it, AJ has been involved in some of the best stuff. I mean, like that three-way or just him and Joe, and then him and Jerry Lynn. Mm. And then didn't he also – who did Dale? Yeah, that was probably the beginning, right, from TNA when it was AJ.
He and Jerry Lynn were like the big feud, like the first big X Division title feud when they started that in 2002.
And it went on for a while, but they were always good matches. I mean, the work rate was awesome.
You're guaranteed, if you watch TNA, you're guaranteed to see a great X Division match. This is early on. You're guaranteed to see a great X Division match of some kind. You're actually going to see women wrestle. They had the women's wrestling market cornered. They had all the best girls, and they had all the girls that could work for a long time. And then, much like WCW, at the end, the show declined as the show went on most of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't say they had all the best women. They just had the two best women with the best chemistry at the time because, you know, for the most part, it was mainly Gail Kim and Awesome Kong.
That's
true. They had those two awesome matches on Impact, like the one where they were all over the crowd. I was fucking crazy. I mean, those two matches were probably two of the best. You know, you could put them up there with two of the best matches that have ever been on Impact. And they did have Taylor Wilde. Taylor Wilde, she was okay. I think that's when they brought in Sarah Stock, Dark Angel. I forgot what her name was on TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And, they did have some good women. I mean, it wasn't, like, as loaded as probably people remember because they still had Angelina and Velvet and some other bad ones. They also fucked up at that point because they could have hired Leva Bates because she, remember when Awesome Kong was doing the challenge where, like, they'd bring in, like, different girls?
Yeah, that's what Taylor Wilde won the title, wasn't it?
Yeah. Before Taylor Wilde, I think it was like Leva Bates, and they didn't end up hiring her, which that's where they totally fucked up and ruined their chances to ever make it was back then. But, yeah, I mean, they did have some good women. That was the thing. They had awesome women matches with, you know, Gail Kim, Austin Kong, fucking Jerry and AJ, or Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels. I mean, that's when they were different. They were different in the beginning, you know, and... That's back, you know, I'd actually watched TNA at the time because they were fucking different. They had different things, but they slowly morphed back into the WWE style where the X Division matches didn't matter. The guys got too big, like Triple H became too big for the Intercontinental. You know, AJ and them kind of became too big for the X Division. They lowered it down to guys who were just like green or not that great. And then, you know, they lost Gale, they lost Awesome Kong, you know. They basically had what Victoria was the best worker for a while, so they kind of like Mickey, you know. So, I mean, it's just like what made them different and everyone liked, they just gave up on and went back to the same old thing. And that's when they really, you know, the ratings never changed. The ratings pretty much stayed the same the whole fucking time they were on Spike. But people's opinion of the show went from liking it and, yeah, it's different. And, you know, it was kind of cool to be a TNA fan at one point, you know. And then, you know, it just, they just fucking went to hell because they just, I don't know what the fuck, you know.
It really seemed to start to go bad in 2006 when they brought Vince Russo back. I remember the first big match was the like Chris Sabin and Low-Key. And there was a doll involved, a blow-up doll, because they were doing like the Jackass gimmick. You remember this?
Vaguely.
And I think somebody threw the blow-up doll in and Low-Key did the big double stomp on it or something. And they were pushing around each other in like grocery carts down the mm-hmm. ramp and watch them bust their ass or something. And then they had the reverse battle royal. Oh, God, that was horrible.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst matches.
As you remember, very early on, they had dancing girls.
Yeah.
And one of them, yes, one of the girls lost her top on the little pay-per-view.
And, yeah, that's when they were doing different things. They were cussing and...
Yeah.
They were doing all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day when they used to zoom in or, like, the camera used to cut... Basically, it was coming out of between SoCal Val's legs, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That was one of the best things they ever did in TNA.
And then they were doing some of the, like in the beginning, they were doing like the wacky stuff like they would have, I don't know, like Nikita Koloff show up and turn on Dusty Rhodes or something silly like that.
Yeah, they did used to bring in a lot of, like, didn't they bring in Ricky Steamboat as a bad guy or something?
No, they brought in Ricky Steamboat. He was like the referee in the championship match for the first X Division title. And I think for the NWA title, when Ken Shamrock went on that first show, I think he was the referee.
That's right.
But I think he was kind of borderline the heel in Ring of Honor, wasn't he? He'd do something with CM Punk or something. I vaguely remember this. I think he did a little angle with CM Punk in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I'm not sure. By the way, go out of your way to listen to Ken Shamrock on Stone Cold's podcast, part one and two. It's really good. That Ken's had a crazy life.
He what? What did you say, Craig?
What now?
I said go. Are you guys hearing me?
Yeah, we heard that. I just didn't hear the last part. You said something.
Oh, I said Ken's had a crazy life.
Oh, okay. I thought you said crazy wife, and I wasn't sure. That's
well, he said he had a crazy life.
Yes, he might have a crazy wife. I don't know. But anyway.
Which is one girlfriend that you should play his sister.
That's right. I forgot about that. I'm going to pull up the roster here. And some of this is very out to date. They still have Homicide... listed on the main roster here.
Well, wasn't he on last night?
I didn't watch all of it, so I can't.
I think
you.
He was. I think we maybe Russell Samoa Joe or somebody.
There you go. Okay, see. Shows how much I watch.
Remember when he couldn't get out of the cage?
Yeah. He was stuck up there.
Yeah, that happened. I'm just going to run down the roster, and just real quickly, you guys throw out if you think somebody else could use them right now. And this has nothing to do with the fact that ROH can't afford to hire anybody right now because they are stacked to the gills with talent. But just for funsies, we'll start with Couture, and then Ed, you go after that. And just tell me if they have a place somewhere else.
First off, alphabetical order, Abyss, the career.
I think he can get a run in WWE.
Ted?
Slight chance WWE, but he's going to make some money in Mexico and Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He'll definitely make some money in Puerto Rico. I could see him being involved in one of the wacky promotions in Japan. Or, you know, if FMW was still around, oh my goodness. Next up, Angelina Love.
No, not really.
Yeah, I don't think she's WWE. Yeah, she's pretty, but she's not WWE pretty because her face is her weakest asset, you know. But
you
know
when they did the gimmick where they didn't have any makeup on?
Oh,
Ed,
no.
But she'll have work because she'll get to work Shimmer and Shine, so she'll always have that. Plus, you know, it seems like a lot of the girls are working pretty regularly nowadays. I mean, it's been a good couple of years for women indie wrestlers as far as them getting dates. So she'll be fine. I just don't see her. She just her face is her like I say her weakest thing, and that's one of the big things in WWE.
The funny thing about the girls too is they can make money on the convention scene for years. So all the girls are going to be fine for quite a while.
Yeah. Like the last two shows that I've been to, like some of them are smarter than other ones because like some girls, you know they also their gimmicks, but you know it's usually cash. But like Leva Bates has one of those apps for her phone where she can take credit cards, so she'll do like you know at least a third more business, you know, selling stuff because she can do that. So but I'm sure that's going to trend and more girls will start doing it, so they'll even make more money, you know, at these shows or you know they get to. You know, they get to sell their gimmicks. So Angelina will be fine. You know, she I don't think WWE, but she'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Austin Aries.
He can go back. Oh, go ahead, Catrell.
I don't know. They possibly NXT. I don't know. They didn't even want him for Tough Enough that one time. So, but he's got kind of an attitude.
It's true.
Yeah, he's probably best suited to either go back to ROH or Dragon's Gate or Evolve. You know, I'm sure he'll do PWG no problem. But yeah, he's gonna have to go back to that route, go back there. I mean, hopefully he didn't burn his bridges too bad and he can go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree with you. ROH or Dragon Gate, any of those bigger indies. Bobby,
you say same thing about Davey Richards probably too.
Yeah, Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, all those, even low-key, you know. Bobby Roode, guitar.
Oh, WWE, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
He reminds me of Triple H with the way he works in the ring.
Yeah.
And he's a great worker, too. So I think they give him a chance.
I could see them giving him a chance. I don't know if he'd make it because he's just missing that one. You know, he's a great worker and everything, but he's missing that one thing that would make him special in WWE. You know, I don't think he would stand out enough, but I could see them giving him a chance. I don't know if he'd make it. I don't know if he'd be right for like ROH or Dragon's Gate, you know, cause I don't know if he'd want to do that, you know? I think he's just,
he's more like a sports entertainer than a wrestler.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think he would just do more spot indie shows than if anything, convention.
Not that he's a bad wrestler. It's just I think he'd be more adaptable to like the sports entertainment type. You know.
He's a guy.
Cutting promos and you know acting and stuff like that. I think he's pretty good. So.
He's a guy that I look at him and I go, that dude's a wrestler.
Yeah,
he has the look. He has the, you know, his hair and his beard. Everything's perfect. He's always tan. He's always in a suit. That guy. When I look at him,
I think
he's a wrestler. He'll go for it.
I think he's the best they got in TNA right now, in my opinion.
Absolutely, me too. I think he's tremendous.
What are you talking about? They have Tiffany.
Yeah, we'll get to her in a minute.
Oh, God.
Karen.
I think she's pretty decent, so.
Some days. I don't even know if I should even mention Bram.
I've never even seen Bram.
He was in WWE. Didn't he get popped out of the cops or got a fight with the cops and got canned?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I won't take him back. They won't take him
back. I've watched very, very little Impact like lately. I watched like the first hour last night, and I'll pop it on here or there, but I've seen very little. I've never actually seen Bram. I don't even know what the motherfucker looks like.
Ain't he married to Charlotte?
Didn't tell you. You are correct. Brittany? Any hope for this girl?
Who?
Brittany.
Brittany can go back to Shimmer and Shine.
There you go.
And the conventions, I mean, she's a pretty girl. I could even see her getting because she's gotten a trial for NXT before. I could see them giving her a chance. She is pretty pretty. And it's funny because I thought she was a much better worker when she was in Shimmer and Shine, but I guess she was just working with better girls or something because she hasn't been, her matches haven't been that great in TNA. She'll get work, you know, that she'll get plenty of work.
And I think this girl is absolutely stunning. I don't think she'll ever have to work a day in her life. Brooke Tessmacher.
I don't know if that's true more after TNA. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I could see her doing modeling gigs and doing the Hooters calendar or whatever. But I think she'll do great on the convention circuit, like I mentioned. I think she's perfect for that stuff. So. Hey, what you said?
Yeah, I already talked about her.
Okay. I'm going to lump Bully Ray and Devon together just because they such a great tag team.
I see them go back for like a short run.
Mm-hmm.
In the tag division.
Yeah.
Go back and work with like the Wyatts or somebody like that.
And that'd be tremendous, actually.
They could just do like, you know, like the way Billy and Road Dogg came back. You know, they could just do like a short term like that. That'd be fine. And if they're going to work plenty of indies, I mean, they'll never be hurting. They'll be able to work when they want. I mean, they're big enough names.
They still got their schools they run, so they got that to do. So, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Bully Ray as an agent.
Yeah, he'd be pretty good. From what I hear, I mean, he's supposed to be real good as far as shit like that. I mean, Lance always has talks about him doing, you know, taking charge backstage whenever they do shows and stuff. So they're going to work when they want. I mean, they're going to make, they might make more money if they don't have to worry about working for TNA and can do more other stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How about
they're going in the TNA Hall of Fame this year. That's funny for some reason.
How about the forward entrance?
And that's the company might be doing.
This guy, Chris Melendez, is that correct? Chris Melendez, that's the former Crimson, correct?
I haven't seen him in forever. I never cared much
for him.
He was
fine. Apparently, I don't know if he was back last night or if he's coming back next week, but they're re-debuting him in, it looks like almost an MMA kind of a gimmick. He's shaved his head and he's grown a goatee. I don't see him doing much, to be honest.
I just remember he got very offended when Ryan Alvarez talked about his punches and he went on Twitter or something.
Doesn't Granny know his grandfather or uncle or something? They hang out at the senior center playing bingo?
I think so.
I must have missed an episode.
Honestly, I don't even remember what he looks like. I don't even remember Crimson. It's been so long. I know they've been in OVW for a while, but...
Yeah.
He came in as Red Brother. at first. Remember that?
He was
Red's brother.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
Red's
that's right.
brother. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny, we went to a TNA house show, I think it was last year, and Brian is pretty good friends with Jeremy Borash. And Jeremy texted Brian, or vice versa. Well, anyway, he came and got us. We went backstage. And God bless Jeremy Borash. He grabbed the shirt that Crimson took to the ring and threw it to my son, expecting him to be overjoyed. He said, "This is the shirt that Crimson wore into the ring tonight." And my kid's like, "Oh, cool." He really could not have cared.
Were you nervous being backstage at TNA with Brian Alvarez?
A little bit. Luckily, we didn't see Taz or anything, because that was a bad scene years ago. But we met Matt Morgan and RVD and Jeremy, who's very cool, and bumped into D'Lo Brown, which was pretty darn cool. So,
what happened with Taz years ago?
Pardon?
What happened with Taz years ago?
I can't remember. I just know that Taz wanted to choke him out. Brian's words, not mine.
He can be highly irritable, he looks like.
Oh, yeah. And he's a New Yorker on top of that. Yeah.
Well, if you hear, like, the old-time ECW guys and they talk about Taz, they'll always say he took himself too seriously or his gimmick too seriously. And they
well,
make
he played
it like,
because he was scary as shit to me on TV.
Yeah. But he's like he seems to be like the most unpopular among like the old timers, you know. But basically, all the guys who make it when they shouldn't make it, you know, they're pretty high on themselves. So it's a very common trait in pro wrestling. So you can't really hold that against him too much. But yeah, he does look like just looking at him, he looks like he's just miserable. You know what I mean? Like
yep.
One of those guys that
absolutely
doesn't like everything irritates the guy. It's just the presence he gives off, you know. So
yep.
Who knows? He could be like the most funnest guy, but he looks like he's miserable all the time. It's just how he looks. But I would have loved for him to have drugged Brian into a bathroom and locked the door and turned off the lights and lit a lighter and cut a promo on him, like Roddy Piper did.
I remember years ago when I was doing the tape trading thing, I got one of the ECW fan fest things where they had like a fan fest panel. They'd have a bunch of guys up there, and the fans would ask them questions. And Taz got very irritated with one of the crew guys that was, you know, helping out. And he said, he just cussed him up and down, said, "I'll choke you out right here, you know, and I ain't playing, and this is a shoot." And, of course, when a wrestler says it's a shoot, usually it's a work. So
I got a couple of those back in the day. They were pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, they were fun to watch. Okay, going back to our roster, Christy Hemme, any hope for this girl?
If she didn't have the heat with Stephanie that she does, I would say she could go back to WWE because she's still pretty good looking. She's mainly going to be doing the conventions and your occasional indie show.
Is she in the, she's on the creative team, isn't she?
That's
yeah.
What they say. Yeah, I just can't see her at creative meetings with Stephanie for some reason.
Yeah.
So, next up, I'm going to lump the other two together. Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards.
Basically ROH, Dragon's Gate, Evolve, PWG. I could see them giving Eddie a chance, maybe back one more chance on NXT. Well, Eddie's fine. Eddie gets along with people. Davey's the one that's like off in Aries. You know what I mean? You got two fucking bullheaded dudes who fucking have high opinions of themselves, and probably rightfully so, but those two dudes rub people the wrong way. And Davey's just like Taz. He looks like he's miserable every second of the day. You know? And, you know, it's no secret that Aries, you know, is hard to deal with. You know?
Yeah.
This is probably the only show he's ever done where he didn't kayfabe, you know, at all. You know what I mean? Because he can't. I mean, think of when he got interviewed by Brian.
Yeah. It's so funny. That's not the same guy that I saw training in Buddy Wayne's school. You know, it was only one time that I saw him, but he was such a nice guy, and he was so humble, and I saw him do stuff up here with a couple of the local guys, and just seemed like a good dude. I mean, he was totally friendly to Buddy. Of course, it's Buddy. So, because if you smart off to Buddy, he's going to give it right back to you in tenfold. But, that's not the same dude. I don't know what happened to him.
But they'll work. I mean, they're not, you know.
Those guys will have a job in Japan forever. If they want it, they'll have a job with ROH. They'll have a job with Dragon Gate. That's one of the tag teams or two of the guys that it doesn't matter how full your roster is, you'll tell somebody to stay home to bring those guys in, I think.
Yeah.
What about DJ Z?
Yeah. I see him going to a smaller indie, you know, CWZ or
sure.
Is it? Yeah, stuff CZW. Like that. There's the All Pro. I think he'll get work, but it'll be this. I don't know. I could see him maybe bringing him in like as a lesser talent on maybe ROH, Dragon's Gate. I just don't ever see him like giving him like a major push. But I think he'll be like I say doing the smaller independents. But I think he'll get plenty of work. He's young. He's got some moves. He'll go back to where he was before he got the TNA.
I don't think he'd go to. Like NXT or something. Yeah, I think he'd probably have a rep for being dangerous after what happened to Jesse Sorensen.
Right.
Just like a total accident, but still, you know, people get that rep even when it's an accident.
I could really see him doing something big in Mexico for some reason.
Yeah, he could. He would work in Mexico. He's small here, but he'd be decent sized in Mexico. I could see him AAA. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Showtime Eric Young? Should he stick to fishing and hiking and turtle hunting or what?
I think he's probably going to
put a good price on the indies.
I think he's going to do his reality TV shows, the occasional indie show, and conventions. But for the most part, I think the majority of his in career is going to be done with TNA.
I think he'd get a good price on the indies too.
I don't think he's going to work a lot, though. I think he's going to concentrate more on his Animal Planet stuff. I think he's going to transition over to that.
A lot of these people hit the indies at the same time, though. Prices may go down. You know, they got so many people out there now. They would have so many people out there, so.
Mm-hmm. What about EC3? He got cut from WWE, but he's sometimes the best thing on Impact.
Yeah, he's a good talker. I think he's a good worker. I think WWE would take him back.
Yeah, I think they give him another shot. I don't know how well, but if that don't work out, I don't know how well he would do on ROH or Dragon's Gate.
He'd be a good heel in those programs.
Yeah, I just don't know if he'd have. They already got him, Mike Bennett, you know.
It's true.
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe he could get a little work in Mexico. But I don't know. I think if I'm going to worry about any of the names you brought up so far, I'd actually kind of worry about him because if WWE doesn't take him back, I don't really see where he kind of fits. You know, he's not right for Dragon's Gate or ROH, you know. So I don't know. I mean, to me, he could be in limbo, even though he is talented, but I don't think he's right for the indies. I think he's more suited to be in the WWE, but they might not take him back. He's already had one shot, you know what I mean?
Next up, what about Gail Kim? Does she just go home and let her husband cook amazing food for her? Just retire quietly?
Honestly, if she's smart, that's what she could do because she doesn't need to work. I mean, the dude makes a lot of money. I mean, I would love to see her go back to WWE for one more run, but I don't think she liked her last run.
I don't think they'd take
but
her.
But she could also, and also, I mean,
the best of terms, I don't think.
Yeah. So I think, and then of course, you know, she does have, she could go to Shimmer and Shine, no problem. I'm sure Prezak would take her back. He would take her in a heartbeat, you know. He could always have main event matches with, like, you know, Cheerleader Melissa and all the main Shimmer girls. So, I mean, she'll get work there if she wants.
She got no worries.
Yeah, should be good for him. Okay, out of all the guys that I've mentioned and gals, I think this guy is in a load of crap. I think he is in so much trouble, and I think he better start going back to school. Garrett Bischoff.
I didn't even know he was still in there.
Yeah, I don't see
any.
He's
I would quit wrestling after TNA.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Go back to school. Learn how to build something. Yeah. Get a rental car driver.
Yeah.
Something. How about Gunner?
The what?
Gunner?
Gunner. Yeah.
I don't know, I can see him like
Gunner.
Oh, Gunner. Yes.
I don't know about Gunner. I don't think WWE would take I don't see WWE would take Gunner. I don't know if he'd fit in ROH Dragon's Gate.
No.
I think he'll do the occasional indies here and there, but I don't think he's gonna be in wrestling for too much longer.
I think if Japan would take, you know, some of those bigger guys, I think Gunner would do okay in Japan for a bit. I don't know. Maybe not. James Storm.
James Storm?
Yeah.
I think WWE would give him a try.
Heck of a worker.
Yeah, he's the other one to try. What the fuck was the other one's name?
Oh, yeah.
Braden Walker. Texas Rangers.
Yeah, Braden Walker.
Texas Ranger. Cena did something about him one time, just as on a whim. Remember, he was one of the punchlines to one of Cena's bad jokes?
Yeah.
And,
I remember that.
I remember Matt Hardy called him a wildcat in the dressing room or something. Called somebody a wildcat in front of Braden Walker.
That's right. I think James would do okay. I think they would have him cut his hair. I think they would have him shave. And I think he would do okay. I'd like to see him in NXT. I think he would tear it up in NXT.
Mm-hmm. And he was pretty fat last night.
He's been kind of chubby for a while now, actually.
Yeah, well, that's going to hurt him. He's going to be stuck in the same position Chris Hero was if he goes to WWE. Because he'll be in shape for a few months, and then he gets fat. And he does it all the time.
I think
he's been
doing it recently. He gave up or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he looked fat last night. I'm sorry.
He needs to switch over to light beer, I think.
Chris Hero looks hideous.
Yeah, a little bit.
As good as he is, I just see him doing conventions and the occasional indie show. I don't see a lot of future in James Stone, as good as he is. Part of it's going to be his own problem if he doesn't stay in shape, because if TNA goes under, I see him getting fatter and fatter.
Jeez.
I can see him in Japan.
That's what happens when athletes start working out. Look what happens to football players on the offseason if they don't stay working out. They get fat real fast, and he's an example of it. He gets fat really fast, you know. And if he's not working or has a reason to stay in shape, he's going to keep drinking beer, and that fucking gut's going to get fatter. And as talented as he is, because he can wrestle, he can talk, he's got to look, he's one of the guys that's not going to have that much of a career after TNA unless he totally changes his attitude.
Moving right along, here's a name I think WWE would snatch him up in a heartbeat. Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, they'd give him another shot.
Didn't they change the rules regarding strikes anyway? So maybe they'll give him an extra strike or two, you know what I mean?
Only if your last name is Orton.
Yeah, but Hardy, he draws. They know he draws. They could give him, you know, they didn't say, the rules weren't changed until after Hardy was gone. The rules have been changed, so they can give him another shot or two. So I see him going. I can see him making at least one more run in WWE.
I don't know if they'll give him a shot on top, but they'll give him a shot.
They'll give him a shot, see how it works for a while, and if he does good, you know, then I can see them giving him more of a shot. And then he'll be like Matt. He can pick and choose what indies he wants to work if he doesn't go to WWE and do the convention. And he'll make a lot of money at the convention. He'll probably be like the top seller at the convention if he starts to do
those
more.
I think they would take both those guys for a nostalgia run as a team.
Mm-hmm. I think they would take, as a team, I think they would take Matt and Jeff back for a final.
I don't know if they take Matt by himself. He's not much by himself.
No.
He couldn't do the schedule anyway, but Jeff could still do it. I could see Jeff going by himself. I could see them both doing, if they give Matt like a ding where it's like he doesn't have to do with the house shows, I could see them doing a run together. But it's all depending on how
Jeff
much.
I could see coming back and getting an RVD or Jericho schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three months on and 3 months off or something like that.
Okay, I'm going to throw three names out because they kind of are similar. Jeremy Borash, Mike Tenay, and Taz.
I would bring Taz back as Rusev's father, like I've said. And get out of this Russian deal.
I think
Mike Tenay, I don't think so.
I think Borash and Tenay could contribute and be good in WWE. I just don't see it. Borash is a hard worker. I mean, he'll find a job with, you know, ROH, or he'll do something. He'll stick around.
I could see him in NXT working there, like as an announcer.
Yeah. I think if they gave him a shot, he'd be all right. I mean, I like Borash. I don't know. As far as Tenay, he's too old and too ugly, you know, for WWE.
Which of a wrestler?
As mean as that is, you're right.
I think he'd be good at it. I just don't think they'd ever even think about it, unfortunately. I think Tenay might be done, except for the convention circuit.
Yep. Boy, I'd like to find something for him to do, whether it's, you know, as like an announcer in NXT or just like working in production, or he does so many things, you know, they can find, he'd be good at something there. Not necessarily on TV.
If worse comes to worst, he could do what Don West does and go back to the infomercial route and do infomercials. He'll, even if it's not in wrestling, he'll be fine because he's a worker and he's actually that good. So,
Borash is like Jimmy Hart. You can always find something for him to do and to be good at it.
Yeah.
He needs to call up Barnum and Bailey and get himself a top hat. And
if Jared gets a promotion, I think he'll be like the main guy with Jared if Jared gets a promotion ever.
Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking full carny and join the circus. It could be great.
Next, I see most of these people going to Jerry's promotion if he ever gets that off the ground.
Yeah. I'm actually hoping he really does. I hope he does well.
Yeah.
Wrestling needs another company. They need a place for guys to develop. They need a place for guys to go. And somebody needs to employ these people. How about Jesse Godders and Robbie E?
Jesse Godders is a new?
Robbie E. Okay.
Jesse Godders is really good for his experience, I think. Mm-hmm. If you send him to NXT, he'd be very good there.
Together, I mean, he's got the look as far as WWE. I mean, he looks good. And he's not actually half bad. I don't know if Robbie E. would make it to WWE. I think Robbie's just going to do the indie scene. And he can do conventions because he's got his girlfriend there. And she'll make plenty of money on the convention thing.
He's going to be on the Amazing Race coming up.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be funny if they won.
Oh, this guy, Kenny King, should he stick to dancing?
I'm sure he makes quite a good living doing that.
Yeah. I'm sure
he does. Kenny
King. Kenny King.
Who?
Kenny King.
Kenny King.
Kenny King. I don't know.
Craig keeps moving his mouth away from his phone. That's what's going on.
I don't think he's taking him back after the way he left.
No, he burned that bridge.
Yeah, he's kind of fucked up. But he works like there's an indie fed in Vegas he works at, and then there's a school. I think he trains there or teaches at the school. And then I'm sure he makes plenty of money as a Chippendale, and I'm sure he makes plenty of money as a fucking male escort, you know, because I can imagine all those guys get fucking numbers from the chicks that are there, you know. So if I have the opportunity to do that, I'd do it. So I'm sure he does plenty, you know, I'm sure he does well for himself in Vegas.
Hey, Bob Bagwell's kind of porn star. That should be fun, huh?
Mm-hmm. Who?
Bob Bagwell.
Bob Bagwell is becoming a porn star?
Yes.
Do you remember those movies he made? Those fucking, like, fucking Cinemax-like movies he made, like Day of the Warrior?
Yeah.
He was like a bad guy and he dressed up like an Indian.
I didn't see the whole thing. I just saw the part with him in it.
Yeah. It was in at least two of them. I remember those fucking, those are, they were pretty bad movies, but they had some fucking hot chicks in them.
He's going to be doing porn. I think his mom, Judy's involved too, so.
Oh, Jesus.
Or maybe not.
I could, I think ROH, just for a gag, should bring him back, put him under a hood, and tag him with the romantic touch, just as a gag.
He could go back to being the handsome stranger.
That'd be funny.
With a Lone Ranger mask.
How about Kurt Angle?
I think he'll end up back in some form in WWE. If he can pass the physical, maybe do one match or two.
I don't think he'd pass the medicals to do a match in WWE. I basically see him doing like a hacksaw gimmick where he just pops up, you know, like a legend deal, and he'll just pop up for a show here or there. But as far as a career, he can't pass those medicals, dude. There's no way they'll let him on the road or work matches. They wouldn't even let Hogan do a leg drop, you know what I mean? Kurt Angle is probably in worse shape than Hogan is, you know. So he's going to be either doing, like, stuff like that and the convention scene. I mean, and honestly, that's what he needs to do. He don't need to wrestle no more.
Yeah, I hope he saved his money. I mean, he would be a perfect fit for Japan. And
are you shitting me? He would be out in a month or two. He'd be too injured. They'd kill him. He couldn't handle Japan full time.
I think he would do very well in Japan, but for
he's
a very
a
short time.
Yep. Like maybe one match.
Some of those payoffs were pretty huge. He could do it.
And I don't know.
Speaking of pretty huge, what about Bobby Lashley?
Nah. We're going to go back to MMA.
Didn't he leave on bad terms? I mean, he left on bad terms with WWE.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
He did leave on bad terms.
He does look like a $1 million, though.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 on whether they'd give him a chance or not. I don't think he's with Christo anymore, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's 50-50, but that's the only place I see him, really. I mean, I don't see him anywhere else. Maybe the occasional thing in Japan, but not here in full time. He's not good enough to be a full time worker in Japan. Yeah, so they don't give him a chance. I don't really see him too much.
Since we are running out of time quickly, I'm going to skip some and just hit some high points here. How about Madison Rayne?
I don't see her going to WWE. I think she's basically, like I said, for the majority of the women, she'll go back to Shimmer and do Shine and the convention. And she'll make money at the convention. So, I mean, I think she'll be okay, but I just don't – I don't think she's pretty enough to go to WWE. Or I don't think the WWE thinks she's pretty enough to go to the WWE.
Yeah.
Probably a better word, way to say it.
Yeah. How about, this is an interesting one, what about Magnus? Good looking dude. Pretty good wrestler.
I could see them signing him to NXT. Whether he makes it, because as big and as good as he looks on TNA, it's different in WWE. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Jeff and Matt look small in WWE. They're giants everywhere else.
Giants.
You know what I mean? He's not going to stand out as much in WWE, but I could see them giving him a shot. I mean, he does look good. He's not half bad as far as his in-ring work. I could see them giving him a shot.
You know, over in England when they go on those big European tours, you see him getting a shot that away too. Well,
just, man, they could team him up with Sheamus or whoever, you know what I mean? Just get that international flavor in there. What about Mr. Anderson?
No.
Convention.
No. Now, going back to WWE.
You got too many enemies in WWE.
You know, I heard I heard him on an interview. He did an interview with one of my local radio stations, and it was, they actually do a podcast, not just their radio show in the morning. And he stayed on with these guys for about 30 minutes, and he seemed to be the coolest guy. And then he got to the part where he roughed up Shawn Michaels and Randy Orton and John Cena all in the same week. And he sounded like the biggest jerk that didn't understand what pro wrestling was. And granted, it was many years ago, but it was like, how have you gotten a job in this business and not understand how people are going to act when you rough them up?
Well, it's not like he was roughing up. He was just doing stupid shit. You know, they try to pick him up for a suplex. They're trying to pick him up for a suplex, and he's fucking fighting and not going up for them. It's like,
he took a chunk of Sean's hair out of his head. That's dumb.
Yeah, like I said, he does dumb shit. Yeah, I don't see him. The only thing I see him doing is the convention and your occasional convention indie show. WWE is not going to take him back. Too many people spoke up against him. He's not right for ROH or Dragon Gate or PWG.
No.
I could see Jared or Jared does a thing maybe, but that's about it.
And what about MVP? Back to Japan?
I see him going to WWE.
Yeah.
I could see them giving him one more shot, you know. I don't think it'll ever be like a main eventer, but I could see them, you know, they need the basically, you know, the R-Truth position, the basically jobber type, you know what I mean? And then, you know, Japan, he was doing okay in Japan. I mean, I don't think he was working on like a lot, but he was getting enough to, you know. So, and then the Jared thing, if it comes off, but, Yeah.
What about ODB? She's a dud, isn't she?
Dud. No, because she can do Shimmer and Shine and do the conventions, you know?
And they're the youngest supporter since they're married.
And it's, I think she could also do a little Mexico if she wanted to, and the Jared thing.
Yeah, possibly. I've never seen the appeal in that. I've never seen the appeal in that girl. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
You're just scared of her, that's all. She looked good on, and when she got married to Eric Young, she took off all her clothes.
Okay.
She was quite the scary woman.
Thank you. I completely agree.
I think she could kick all three of our asses at the same time for real.
Oh, yeah.
I have no doubt of that.
I am terrified of that woman.
You would not kick my ass.
Didn't CM Punk and her used to have a thing? Wasn't she with CM Punk for a
while?
No.
Well, maybe.
I think so. I think so. He's as much of a whore as Batista. And I'm pretty sure he had a thing with ODB.
Ken Anderson was with ODB for a while.
I can't. No. Absolutely not.
Do you ever see her in WWE before she had the implants? And she had more of the original kind of China look?
I saw when she tried out for the first Tough Enough.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Not even with your, anyway. How about Rockstar Spud?
He'd be good in WWE doing something, even just comedy. That motherfucker's funny.
Yes. He's great. He really is great.
He could be like a younger version of Downtown Bruno.
Okay.
He'd be like he did for Dixie. He'd be like that for Stephanie. You know, just be his little mole, or just, you know, just runs around and does errands and gets yelled at and slapped.
Him in the same role with Stephanie would be absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, like if they gave him, or like if they gave him like the Brad Maddox role, he'd actually be like 10 times better. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'd get past how small he is, you know, just out of just the way they think. But, yeah, I think if they did give him a chance, I think he'd actually.
He seems like he'd be better at mouthpiece than the wrestler.
Yes. Yeah, he would make a great heel manager that just gets thumped every, you know, every week. He would be tremendous. Samoa Joe.
He could go to. I don't see him doing WWE. He's just he's gotten too fat. I mean, even back when he wasn't fat, he was still too fat for the WWE. If you know what I mean. But you know, he could have a good run in ROH. You know, like a Welcome Back tour. You know,
sure.
And you know, he'd do all right in Dragon's Gate, PWG. Mm-hmm. I could see him doing some tours of Japan. You know, I think he'd do all right for himself, but I just don't see, as far as, like, the major promotions, I think he'd be done.
I had no trouble finding the work.
The what?
Did he have no trouble finding the work?
Yeah, I think he would do just fine. Japan, ROH taking back in a New York minute, it'd be, he'll be just fine. Ooh, Samuel Shaw.
I think he's done.
Not really.
He's done.
I think he's done.
He's not doing nothing. He's just done. How about Taryn Terrell?
I would say WWE. If she wouldn't have left on such bad terms, I would say she could go back. But unfortunately, she did leave on bad terms. I don't know if I would say Shimmer and Shine, but I kind of would think she'd probably want more money than they'd be willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of see her just doing the occasional show and doing conventions.
Right.
Which is a shame because she has gotten better.
Yeah. Yeah, she really has.
But, like, if she didn't have, like, because when she first got released, she had some high prices, apparently, from what I remember hearing. If she was willing to lower those prices, I could, you know, she could be one of the top stars. They could push her as one of the top ones in Shimmer or Shine just because of her name experience, you know, being WWE and TNA. Mm-hmm. But it all depends on what she's going to charge them.
Very true. And I think I'm going to end with this one right here. This one's up for a little bit of debate. But Velvet Sky. Sure.
No, I just hear them like on the indies.
She's hot enough to be in the WWE. Honestly, never see why they haven't ever made a play at her. It's not like she's there's they got women who are worse. I mean, let's be honest.
She's in the Diva Search 1 year. She's in the Diva Search 1 year.
Yeah, but she's gotten hotter over the years. Have you seen some photos when she first broke in? You wouldn't even recognize the chick. I would love for her to be in the fucking WWE, to be honest with you. I don't know. I mean, that's where I want to see her.
She was in the Diva Search, and they showed a video of her backstage watching.
Candice Michelle didn't make it on the Diva Search, and she still had a fucking good career.
Watching DVDs of the Steiners in Japan, and they figured she was too much of a wrestling person. So they didn't keep her.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
But,
Go watch that on DVDs. Backstage of WWE people if you want jobs.
The what?
So don't watch wrestling DVDs backstage at WWE if you want jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no doubt. Especially if you want to be like a writer.
They don't want you. Yeah.
That's the worst thing you do if you want to be a writer.
The Paul Heyman DVD coming out this week. I'm going to check that documentary out. Apparently it's pretty good. So I'll be able to talk about that next week.
I think Velvet Sky is very attractive. That's duh. She's horrible in the ring. But with that said, have you seen the girls on Raw lately?
Yeah, she's better than Rosa. She's better than Lashana.
That's like saying you're the best turd in the twin.
But she's hot, dude. I mean, she's fucking one of the hottest chicks in wrestling.
You know what they should do? They should bring her in and put her in the sunny role. Where she doesn't wrestle, she's just there for eye candy. And she's on some heel's arm, you know, something like that. And you know what's funny? When I saw her backstage at TNA last year, she was dressed down. She wasn't all slotted up. She had jeans and a shirt. I think it was a sweatshirt. And she's gorgeous. And she doesn't have to do all that. If she could tone it down a little bit from the trashy, she's a gorgeous woman. And anyway, I think if she toned it down a bit, of course, to make it in WWE, you need to ramp it up a little bit. So I don't know. I think WWE could do something with her. I don't think they will.
I hope they do.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope they do. So that's the roster, unless you guys want to talk about Willow. I mean.
No, I want to talk about what?
I got the lineup for the next NXT special, if you want to hear it.
Oh, really?
The next NXT special?
Yeah, it's on September the 11th on the network. It's got the Ascension against Sin Cara and Kalisto for the tag titles. Charlotte versus Bayley for the women's title. And the main event is Adrian Neville versus Tyson Kidd versus Tyler Breeze versus Sami Zayn for the NXT title. So
that's going to be tremendous. That's going to be a tremendous match.
Yeah, it should be a decent show. It would help if they let Bayley win more matches if they're going to give her a title match on the show.
This is true.
They
wouldn't make Tyson Kidd's job on main event or something like that. He's nothing but a job guy on the same network where you're trying to push him in NXT.
That whole thing is pretty stupid. That was when Dave had brought that up. It's like, what the fuck? You think Hunter is fucking in charge of NXT? You think he'd be the one to fucking put the kibosh on that?
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't even realize that. That's something they didn't even realize they were doing.
Probably.
Yeah, one of the agents, you know, brought it up and didn't even think about it, hasn't even watched an episode.
Doesn't even put two and two together that they're on the same network, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, let me throw out the plugs out of the way already. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows at AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show here at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrera and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
You can follow me on Twitter. I am at my last name, Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R-J-A-M, so Proper Jam on Twitter. Everything wrestling and music related I do there. I kind of try to keep my Facebook for family and close friends, but I'll friend you on there too if you find me. And I'll also be filling in for one.
You're lucky I cannot disconnect you tonight.
Okay. I'll be filling in for one Vincent Verhey. I don't know when because Brian has not gotten back to me. So I think I'm going to be on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday for the next two weeks.
I don't think he's doing one Sunday.
Okay. Well, perfect. Because if you think you have a hard time getting a hold of Brian, I'm one of his friends, and so do I. So getting a straight answer with the little man is...
He's no asshole about that.
You know
the best way to get him to respond to you? You send him a text like, congratulations on your anniversary. And then he'll get back to you. Everything else is like, okay, when the fuck are you going to get back to me, you little shithead? This is important.
Well, I don't know exactly what he did, but he sent me a program that I downloaded to my phone. And that's where it ended. So I have some program downloaded to my phone for podcasting, which, by the way, we'll talk later.
And then when he calls you and you don't know how to use it or work it,
right,
it's going to be your
fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, didn't you get the email from Tony? No. You didn't get the email from Tony? No. And, email Tony. Okay. And what's his email address? Oh, I'll send it to you. And so, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, good luck on that.
I think I'm filling in for him sometime this week. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, you can do it if you want, Ed. I don't care.
I'm more than happy. Well, I got to go back to work. This is my last week of vacation, unfortunately. 5 weeks. 5 weeks are over, and unfortunately, I have to go back to work.
Well, apparently, I have my... Oh, I just opened up Tony's email address. Apparently, I have an email address at f4wonline.com. Now, let me guess what it is. It's Craig
at
f4wonline.com.
Okay.
Anyway.
Did you want to plug anything, Katrina?
No, I just want to go eat dinner.
You just what? I'm sorry.
I just want to go eat dinner. Got me steak and baked potato ready to go eat.
That sounds amazing.
And I'm almost through with the first. I've been watching the first season of Oz and the Aryans. They screwed the one guy in the butt too many times, and now he knocked him out and he shit in his mouth. So I'm ready to see where the backlash is.
I'm thinking you don't want to watch that while eating. Or at least I wouldn't.
Oh, it didn't show it. Really.
The shit you watch, man, it seems like it always involves some kind of shit in the mouth or something.
Oh, my God. End the show. Play the music.
If you guys want to hang up, that's fine, but I'm going to kind of talk. Well, I guess I can't do that because I'm not running the fucking show.
You can't.
Anyway, I'll just say I had an awesome
time. I just cut that motherfucker off. Okay, we'll see y'all next week. See you later, Craig.
Good night.
Good night.